Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Here in the studio tonight is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. We are sharing with you some audio from the first episode of what is a seven-part so far series, a documentary series produced by NBCBoston.com. It's NBCBoston.com/freestate. You can watch the first seven episodes. They're roughly 9 to 15 minutes apiece. They cover different issues here in New Hampshire regarding the Free State Project and different events and things like that. And it's very, very good, very well put together, well edited, well shot. There's really, I have no complaints at all about this. I think it's fun to watch, and it's educational. You know, a lot of people who don't know anything about the Free State Project are going to come away from this with, I would say, a very fair coverage of this. A lot of times people complain, oh, the mainstream media, they're terrible to us, you can't trust them, and it's true.
Well, I'm not going to lie, I hid from them when they were interviewing you here, because I was like, more reporters.
Hmm.
Well, I didn't have any faith in them.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's true, and you really can't trust anybody in the media, right? Like, a lot of them have an agenda, and they are, in a lot of cases, going to slant things. But in this case, I feel like this is a really fair coverage of the Free State Project.
I mean, that's been my experience with most people in the media in general.
That they're slanting or being fair?
That they're being fair. Okay. Certainly the media organizations are unfair, but the actual journalists and people themselves, when you sit down and you spend an hour talking to them because they're doing an interview or whatever, they kind of can't help but to be fair.
Did you feel like the coverage of your race for sheriff, the national level coverage, was fair?
The ones who actually spoke to me, absolutely.
But a lot of them didn't.
No.
Okay.
That's why I added the caveat. Okay. When they actually sit down with you and talk to you. I wouldn't say that a lot of the coverage was unfair either. A lot of it was just reporting on what had happened. Certainly, I'm sure Fox News was not as kind as I would have liked, mm-hmm. But
the facts alone were, you know, quote-unquote bad enough for Fox News readers.
Right. So they didn't really need to add to that.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely seen over the years, having been here for 16 years at this point, I've seen a lot of the coverage of the Free State Project, and I've certainly seen some slanted coverage, especially from, like, the New York Times, for instance.
The worst has just been the Crypto Six. It's, like, ridiculous, the stuff that's come out so far. Like, we talked to that guy from the Inquirer? Wait, what's it called? Not the Inquirer. That's like a...
Intelligencer. Intelligencer, yeah.
And, like, he talked to me for a while. You know what he printed? The only thing that he printed that I said was, like, I'm a Gemini, so I don't like that Gemini the Exchange sucks so bad. And that was just an off thing I said in a conversation. I didn't think he was interviewing me in that moment.
Yeah.
He just tried to make me look dumb.
Yeah, everything's on the record with those guys.
Obviously, a lot worse stuff is come out with the Crypto Six that they, you know, mostly like MWR people making stuff.
WMUR.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a local TV station. So, yeah, there's definitely been a ton of biased coverage over the years, stuff that has absolutely not been fair, basic facts that they got wrong, that they could have simply checked by making a simple phone call to the person that they'd interviewed. So, like, when somebody actually gets it right, it's a nice, refreshing change.
Yeah.
But I'm not like some people, like Chris, our Friday night co-host, he won't even do interviews with the media because he just doesn't want them to get something wrong, and he knows that they do often. I'm not of that viewpoint. I'm like, fine. Talk to me, just print my website name correct. You know, that's all I care about. Because I'm of the viewpoint that even a biased article like you will see in the New York Times, for instance, about the Free State Project, is still going to reach the right people. There's still going to be people who see that. Obviously, there's going to be people who read it and they're like, yeah, screw the Free State Project. Those guys suck. Libertarians suck. Well, we're not trying to recruit those people. We want the people who see these things, who are on our side already, the libertarian types that see these reports, to say, whoa, that's pretty interesting. Oh, well, you know, I don't know whether they're telling the truth or not about all the details, but I like the idea, at least, of the Free State Project, the idea of free freedom-minded people migrating to the same geographic area. And so that's what I really like about this series from NBC Boston, is it spends plenty of time. It's not some, like, little quickie 2-minute news package where they, you know, hit you a couple times with whatever misinformation, and then they get somebody in there to attack the Free State Project, which many times has been the case.
Like the New York Times one?
Well, New York Times isn't going to produce, likely, video, but...
Well, it was an article, is what I meant.
Yeah, I mean, well, New York Times has had feature-length articles, but they're very biased in the way that they're written. I was talking about, like, a 2-minute-long news package. That's what you would call a video package. That's the terminology in the news video industry. So normally if there's a report on the Free State Project, it's going to be 30 seconds to 2 minutes long. It's going to be on the nighttime news or whatever, and that's going to be the end of it. But this is at this point, 7-part series. It's going to be 11 parts. They're around 10 to 15 minutes apiece. So when this is all said and done, they're going to have a feature-length documentary film on their hands. And so there's plenty of opportunity for everyone to get heard. And that does include the opposition. So, and that's one of the things I really actually like about this, is they actually got the opposition to talk. Because normally you can't get these people to go on the record beyond their own websites, beyond their own forum, beyond their own events that they organize. They will not sit down and have a conversation with any of us. And they get incredibly paranoid whenever anyone from the media wants to talk to them, because they're always worried that the media won't be fair to them. But they're so paranoid about it, they won't even have a conversation. And so anyway, we're going to pick up here from episode 1. It's entitled The Manifesto, and it focuses on the foundation of the Free State Project. They talked to Jason Sorens, who's the founder of it, about, you know, how it got started in 2001. 2003, it was October of 2003 when New Hampshire was chosen, and the move began. And so they actually start to bring in some of the other people you're going to hear more from across this series, other Free Staters who have made the move here already, and we'll continue.
It was theoretical. It was abstract. I didn't know what it would look like in practice, but the numbers seemed to work. The idea seemed to be plausible, and so I was excited about making the Free State Project happen.
And here she is. This is the big bad in this story.
I've been waiting for 14 years for this tech interview.
She sounds awful.
I was going to say, I feel bad that we're going to subject our listeners to her laugh, because that's not the only one. She does that over and over and over again.
14 years? She's had plenty of opportunities in 14 years to talk about the Free State Project. She's been interviewed a myriad of times. Maybe she's never had a long-form interview. Like, they sat down with me for a couple hours here, maybe 2 or 3 hours. So maybe that's what she's referring to. But she's – Zandra Rice Hawkins is this woman's name. And she is the, as you'll learn, the creator, or maybe the head of, I don't know if she created it, of Granite State Progress. And she's the big, as I said, big bat. She's the one who is focused on the most as far as the opposition. There's several people they will end up interviewing later on that are the opposition, but they keep coming back to this one. So here she is.
Ready. My name is Zandra Rice Hawkins. I'm the executive director of Granite State Progress. We are fighting for a healthy, just, and inclusive Granite State for everyone.
Oh, so the Free Staters are against health. The Free Staters are against
inclusivity
and justice. Of course not. I mean, Free Staters are incredibly inclusive for the most part.
They routinely hand me a microphone for some reason. So, I mean,
and
they seem
trans.
To be. Yeah.
So, anyway, the B-roll footage is her of at a...
Never had a Democrat do that.
Looks like a playground.
Didn't
here.
They call you anti-LGBT at the anti-Free Stater protesting team?
I think they called the Free Staters anti-LGBT.
They did.
Okay, yeah.
I guess that would have technically included me. As
even though
anti-
LGBT people were there from the Free State Project, not just you.
Probably
but
more than what was with them. Obviously, you can't tell by looking at them if some of these ladies are lesbians, but there was like a bunch of LGBT people there.
Our very own Chris Wade, he's a gay guy. I think Bob is there, his partner. So, like, I think LGBT, at the very least, were disproportionately represented amongst the free staters.
So say,
yeah,
definitely.
Probably a large percentage of them. But anyway, here's Zandra. The B-roll is her and, like, some kids.
My daughter, Annabelle.
at a playground here.
What the hell is so funny?
Park and Conquer.
She's having fun with her kids. You know, she's running around on, like, a playground thing.
I would have cut those out.
Well, they're trying to humanize this person, right? You always have to have the B-roll of the person, like, in their home and doing a thing that they would normally do. They always do that with us. They're like, oh, can you make some coffee in your kitchen? And they film that stuff, right?
Right.
So they have to have that.
You got me. Are you glad our community has a park?
Are you glad our community has a park? Because they wouldn't, without me either, the first time. They would never have a park if the Free Staters were in charge.
That's what she didn't say that out loud,
right.
But that's absolutely what Zandra believes.
First order of business when we get in power is burn down the parks.
Ridiculous, but...
You can't have one without government.
Yeah.
We track conservative and extremist movements in the state. So we started to follow the Free State Project. We run Free State Project Watch, which is a resource for people to learn a little bit about the background of the Free State Project.
Who's doing this with the Libertarian Party?
What do you mean?
This.
Who's
kind
got of Libertarian Party Watch?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No one is.
Well, no, because they're not doing anything.
They're not worth watching.
Yeah.
They're not winning. They're not doing anything of any kind of import. When's the last time mainstream media did a full-length feature documentary, let alone write a single news article of any sort of meaningful length about the things the Libertarian Party is doing?
To be fair, we did spend the first, like, hour of this episode talking about a protest that the Libertarian Party had.
And the media ignored them.
I said, when did mainstream media do it?
Right.
I mean, I did give credit to the Libertarian Party for putting that event together. It's the best thing they've done in many years. I don't remember anything else they've done in years that was particularly noteworthy.
It is new leadership, though, so maybe there will be more of that going forward.
But the mainstream media will ignore them because they're just not worth talking about.
Well, they're 1% of the population at best, scattered throughout the entire United States without any ability to impact things whatsoever.
Right.
Like, even if the Libertarian candidate gets all of the Libertarian vote in every single state, that doesn't accomplish anything.
No, it sure doesn't. And never has actually resulted in growing the Libertarian Party's results. Like, it's just consistent. 1%, 2%, 1%, 2%, or less.
No, as far as we can tell, Donald Trump did more to grow the Libertarian Party than anything the Libertarian Party has ever done.
Just because people hated him?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah.
The Libertarian Party got three times the number of votes in the Donald Trump election.
You could argue it was both Donald Trump and Hillary, because the votes came
from
both.
But libertarians, like, saying, look, we did so great. But look, the Green Party got about a 300% increase
That's
as
right.
well.
Yeah.
So, like, you didn't really achieve anything here.
Nope.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton did that.
So the reason why they formed this Free State Project Watch, as I think she will explain here, is because they want people to know who the Free Stater candidates are. Because
we tend to be pretty upfront about this, don't we?
We do. You and I do. But there are some that are a little more concealing their identities.
Our organization got started around the same time they did, and we just ended up in a lot of the same rooms and the same policy discussions. I can't understand how they can walk away with a completely different take on how to walk in this world.
Well, no, you've never bothered to actually talk to any of them, from what I can tell, Zandra. I mean, you have had these meetings, and they'll actually show one of her meetings later in a different episode, I think, where they start talking about the Free State Project as though it's a hate group.
Yeah, the whole meeting is about hate crimes, and right. they just go, okay, so here's the Brotherhood of whatever, here's this Brotherhood of whatever, number three, okay, the Free State Project, as if anybody in the Free State Project has committed a hate crime.
The Free State Project tries to, you know, and not the Free State Project doesn't organize the activists. Once they get here, they kind of do whatever they want, right? But
as they should.
Right, and that's the way it should be. So people will show up, and actually, you'll see, if you watch this full series, you'll see Stephen Nass, who's a Free Stater who moved out to the Seacoast. He went to this hate group thing that Zandra was putting on, and he actually spoke out like, yeah, we don't hate people. If you actually want to talk to me, I'm right over here. Come on over anytime. I'm here. You know, you can ask me whatever questions you want. You can come to our club. You know, he's like, hey.
I'll give you my contact info.
Right. Our door's open. Come on out. And the fact is, this woman, Zandra, has been invited to things She's been invited to have a discussion.
She's been invited to debate Alu.
She's been invited, I believe, to debate Carla Garrick from the Free State Project, or not even debate, but just have a conversation. Dennis Pratt, I believe, may be putting together the Liberty Forum this year, which is coming up, by the way, in
March.
2 months, or two weeks from now, March 3rd through the 5th, I believe is what it is, and they're not sold out yet. So if you're looking for a good excuse to come up to New Hampshire during the wintertime and check things out, come on up for that. But Dennis, or whoever's organizing Liberty Forum, reached out to these people like Zandra, and I presume she was one of them because she's, you know, the biggest opposition, and they said, we want you to have a speaking opportunity at the Liberty Forum. We are willing to have you have an entire panel where you can bring up all of the opposition if you want to. And, you know, you don't have to pay for the event or anything like that. We just want to hear from the opposition. We want to have a conversation. You know, you can take questions from people or whatever, right? Like, you can run your own panel at the Free State Project event. And they,
that's pretty generous.
Apparently, some of them agreed initially and then said they weren't going to do it.
Backed out.
So there's no one who's willing to do it.
There's nothing in it for them. I mean, it's not like they're going to win over any Free Staters, and they hopefully know that.
Well, if their ideas are so great, I mean, because a Free Stater would accept that offer from them because they would be, their ideas are good enough to, like, get video where they're schooling these people.
But our ideas are unusual and not the mainstream. The idea of, you know, abolishing the education system, that's not mainstream. But the idea of having a public education system, that is mainstream. So there's no chance that they're going to expose some Free Stater to the ideas of big government that they just never have heard before.
I get that, and I didn't expect them to say yes, but it's just proof that these types of people, they aren't interested in having a conversation with us. We do everything we can to get ourselves involved in whatever conversations they're having. Like I said, Stephen Nass went to their event. More than one person, in a lot of cases, go to these events, and they'll speak up and try to defend the libertarian migration or viewpoint or whatever.
Well, we all went to the anti-Free Stater protest in Keene.
Right. Exactly. And so, like, if the Democratic Party invited you to come speak,
I'd go in a heartbeat.
You'd go in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
And I pointed out when Dennis made this, when he sort of revealed that they'd canceled, they had initially said yes to go to the Liberty Forum and then said, no, never mind, we're not going to go. I said, this is the same thing they've been doing forever. There was a time, it was 2015 here in Keene, where we've had more kind of controversy and conflict with these types of people over the years than they have elsewhere. They're starting to experience what we've been experiencing in Keene for, you know, over a decade at this point. They're now experiencing that kind of statewide with some of the pushback and all that. They actually do get into Keene a little bit in one of these episodes as well. And kind of the
history.
Well,
you can't
here.
Talk about the Free State Project and not get into Keene.
You certainly shouldn't. But looking at the history here, there was there used to be a public access channel. It's off the air at this point. It went under, I guess, for whatever reason, and a couple of years ago. But
for many multiple bad reasons, as I understand.
Yeah, it was kind of ugly. But in 2015, it was going strong, and there was a local DJ and another lady that he knew who wanted to start a show called Monadnock Showdown. Now, Monadnock is the name of the region that we're in. It's based on a mountain. That's what that name is. And the idea of the showdown was you'd have these two hosts of the show. And they were kind of like the anchors of the show, and then they would bring in two guests, and it would be kind of like point-counterpoint. So the guests would be on opposite sides of an issue. And so whatever the issue was, right? Like, abolish the stop sign. Yes, no, right? So like the two different people would debate and have a discussion with the two hosts. And it would be entertaining if only they could have gotten people to agree to come sit in a room together.
They couldn't even get that far?
They came to me first, because Keene is noteworthy, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've done a lot of, there's been a lot of activism here in the Keene area. And a Parker, who was one of the main hosts, he and I had some level of contact over the years. He got screwed by the system once upon a time in like a father's rights situation where he got screwed and, you know, lost his kids, that kind of thing.
Happens a lot with fathers in the United States.
Yeah. So I had reported on that some years prior on Free Keene, and so that's kind of how I'd gotten to know him. Plus, he's a DJ, so, you know, we're in the same industry. And so he reached out to me and said, hey, just kind of pitched me on the idea of the show. Hey, do you want to be on with someone from Stop Freaking, which was this anti-freaking group that had been formed just the year before. So, like, Stop Freaking had a lot of momentum. They had a lot of hate that was going on. It's a hate group, basically. You want to talk about hate groups? They absolutely hate Freesaters.
Oh, yeah. They did.
They hate us so bad. And so I thought, wow, this is a great opportunity. Of course. I didn't have to think about it, right? Well, you want to put me on the air?
It would be so great. I'm so sad this didn't happen.
Yeah. And so what ended up happening was... he went to Stop Freaking, which was at that time most noteworthy for having a Facebook group with over 1,500 people in it. Now, to be fair, the theory is that they just added all their friends to the group, because at the time on Facebook you could just add in anybody you wanted to a group and it would just automatically put them there. I don't know if it still works that way, but it would just put them there unless they decided to leave. So we figured that most of the 1,500 didn't actually want to be in the group, but regardless, they were in there. There's 1,500 people in this group. And so they went to this group and they said, you know, pitched them on the idea, Monadnock Showdown, debate, we're going to have Ian Freeman on. Who do you want to have on? You know, we'll let you have somebody on from Stop Freaking. Who do you want?
Yeah.
And they refused to do it. They, first of all, they like stonewalled him for a while because they had to have their board of directors or whatever.
Good Lord.
Have the committee, the committee or whatever. They had to have a meeting and then they had to decide on what to do and what to say. And it's all like centrally controlled, like what you would expect from, you know, Total Status. And so the Stop Freaking admins came back with a missive to the host that said that we're willing to appear on your show, but we will not appear on the episode with Ian Freeman. We demand that you have us on a separate episode so we can respond to what Freeman says afterwards.
Wow.
So they said,
like a freaking lawyer.
They wanted them to have me on by myself on a show called Monadnock Showdown for the first episode. Then they wanted to come on the next week after they
with
had a
week
chance.
Of, you know, writing, yeah. Thinking as hard as they could, Googling things.
That's right. So then, and they wanted to be on alone, and I think with more than one of them, if I recall correctly, on this show. Because they didn't trust the people running Monadnock Showdown. Because they did their research, and they found that I had written an article about Parker, the guy that was one of the hosts on the show, 6 years before or something like that. Wow. And that was their excuse. Oh, we think you're with Ian Freeman, and so we won't. That's,
I mean, this is a
parent.
Really common debate tactic, especially in online internet debates. So this is what they do. They sort of agree to a debate, but then they set impossible terms.
Yeah, yeah, we want to break your show. Your idea of a show is to have people have a debate and a discussion with each other in the room. No, we're not going to do that. We demand that you break your entire show format on the first show for us, because we're that important.
And it's so that they can explain to their viewers, now look, we tried to do this, but obviously we tried to be reasonable, and they refused to, you know, give us these basic, simple things we wanted.
Right. And, of course, the hosts, rightfully so, refused.
Nice.
And they ended up just having me on alone, because I was the only one willing to come on. Some more coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. We're learning more about President Biden's long, complicated, and dangerous trip to Ukraine.
The two reporters who accompanied the president for the entire trip say it began very early Sunday morning with a quiet, small motorcade to Joint Base Andrews. Then the party boarded a smaller 757-sized plane dubbed Sam 060 After a refueling stop in Germany and a one-hour flight to a Polish base, the president and his people took a 10-hour overnight train ride to Kyiv. U.S. fighter jets were overhead until the train entered Ukraine. Biden is now the first U.S. president to enter a war zone with no active U.S. military protection. I'm Richard Johnson.
A suspect has been arrested now in connection with the murder of a beloved Los Angeles area archbishop. 65-year-old Carlos Medina was taken into custody this morning about 20 miles north of L.A. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open. If you want to join us, you can do that. Number is 603-283-6160. I do want to say thank you to Andrew Belich, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. If you appreciate the work that we do here and you want to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live, help our mission of spreading the ideas of liberty, peace, cryptocurrency, freedom every single night, 7 nights a week on broadcast radio and the internet, please join us at amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. We are playing for you the first episode of the NBC Boston lengthy documentary series that's got 7 parts released already. They're about 10, 15 minutes per part, and there's 4 more parts to go, so there's a total of 11.
And I just got to say, Ian, I know why the Stop Freakiners didn't want to do an interview with you, and why these type of people like Zandra don't ever want to actually debate all of you publicly. It's because these people know that they are unlikable loser lamos. I mean, her laugh is so self-hating, and they just know that you would look so much cooler and more likable. You're just so cute, and you would have been like 30 then. It would have just been so cute. I love all the vintage video of Ian Bett from back then. Everybody would love him. They would look like lunatics. Any normal people.
Well, that's very kind of you. I don't know if that's how they see it, but yeah, they do seem to be quite scared of having a simple conversation.
I'm not going to say that you were cute when you were 30 or whatever, but I love the fact that if the free Progressive Project or whatever the hell they're called, whatever this
Granite State Progress.
Yes. If they were like, let's put these Free Talk Live, these Free State Project people, let's put them to the test and let's use their own social media server to organize against them and resurrect Stop Free Keen or Stop Free State Project and use the Free Talk Live social to do it. And let's see if they're really all about free speech. And we'd be like, yeah, go for it. Right?
They would never do that if they had their own.
Or if they were to let's call into that Free Talk Live show every night and get on the air and challenge them. We'd like, yeah, absolutely. Give us a call, 603-283-6160. Let's do it. But if they had a social media server or if they had a talk radio
show.
They'd
lock you down, lock you out.
They would never allow one of us to call into their show and talk to them. It just would never happen.
They try their best to keep us away from their events, too.
Yes.
Some of them they ended up having online only, you know, using COVID as the excuse for it. But
and then they had to approve you to let you in, and they weren't doing it for known free staters or something like that.
Yeah, they were doing everything they could to keep anybody they thought was a free stater out of the discussion. So that just really shows they're afraid of these ideas when it all comes down to it. But we're going to continue here with a few more, looks like maybe two and a half more minutes of the first episode of The Manifesto, which is the first episode of an 11-part series, thanks to NBCBoston.com/freestate. We continue here.
Jason Sorens is the gentleman responsible for this crazy idea that he had published in 2001, the idea about the Free State Project.
The Free State Project is a political group that voted on a state to move 20,000 libertarians to take over state government and dismantle it.
I don't like that terminology at all. We don't want to take over in order to dismantle it. We just want to come here and be left alone, and that results in taking over and dismantling it.
Well, I mean, the thing I will give Zandra credit for, and this is the...
Oh, that was still her
that
talking?
That was Zandra. Yeah, that was Zandra.
She's still not wrong in that depiction. I just don't agree with the wording.
Well, if you go back and you look at the founding documents of the Free State Project, it sounds pretty accurate to what she's saying. And this is the level of credit I will give to her and her organization. They do a lot of research, and a lot of the information they have is accurate about who's the free staters that are on the ballot. I actually find it to be a helpful voting guide because they do a really good job. Like, they identify people who I don't know, right? Like, there's thousands of people who've moved here, and I don't know maybe, you know, a few hundred of them.
Now, she said that her organization came into existence around the same time as the Free State Project. Obviously, it sounds to me like her organization came into existence to counter the Free State Project. She's
hard to say.
She suggests that it didn't.
It was a good theory. I don't know. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when they were founded. That would be an interesting thing to dig around and find out. I mean, to be fair to them, they do a lot of other things. Free State Watch is only one of a myriad of different programs that Granite State Progress is doing. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it was just a coincidence.
The FBI also has a Free State Watch program.
Yeah, I don't know what they call it, but they certainly are very interested in us. So anyway, going on here. But yeah, the original founding proposals was that not that we could take over, because 20,000 isn't enough to take over any state, but we would come here and influence things to where the government could hopefully be dismantled to a large extent. I think that's what a lot of us really want to see happen.
Yeah,
and there's nothing to be ashamed of about
it. Jay Noon, when he was running for a state rep, I interviewed him, and he was straight up honest about, I would like to put in a bill to dismantle, Hillsborough? Like, just a bill that would just, let's get rid of Hillsborough, the corporation. That'd be, like, the first thing I did. I was like, oh, man, that'd be great. Imagine if all the state reps did that. One of them might go through.
Yeah, well, and the more liberty-minded people we can get elected, the closer we can get to doing things like getting rid of the government school system, right? Like, that's something that they tout that we're going to do if we get in charge, and I think that's absolutely something that we would do.
I don't think it is, because I don't think we'd have to do it. You know, all we have to do is free up alternatives for people to make the choice themselves. And
well, only
the
if you
problem
can choose
would
not
just,
to pay.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah.
And the problem would just dissolve itself. The public school system would dissolve itself if people had the choice and the money in their wallets to go to private institutions of their own choosing. Literally no one out there would say, you know what, the best bang for my buck is the public school system.
Well, that's the thing, and you'll get to it when you watch the episodes about Croydon, which was conflict between free staters and townspeople who absolutely do think that the government school system is the best at that. And it really does go to show that we have a long way to go here to convincing people that the government sucks. Even though a lot of people know schools suck, government schools suck, they still think it's worth something, and they fought tooth and nail to save their huge budget for this tiny little town in Croydon last year.
Yeah, and I don't understand it, man. I have never met a single person in person who said to me that they think the public school system is good.
Well, there were 300 plus of them that went to this meeting, and they voted to restore the budget that had been slashed by 54%.
That just means they want to maintain the status quo, though. Like the Joker said this in The Dark Knight, no matter how bad the status quo is, the average person wants to maintain it because it's what makes them comfortable.
Yeah. There was a person in the meeting arguing, like, just because the test scores have gone down doesn't mean our kids are failures. It's like, our kids are failing school. That doesn't mean they're failures. I mean, they're failing at school, and that's the thing that you guys are paying for. Don't you want
twice
them to,
as much as private schools?
By the way. Don't you want them to be able? Don't you want better for your kids? I mean, it's crazy.
We can talk more about the Croydon thing at another time, but let's continue with this one. This is their first episode at NBCBoston.com/freestate.
New Hampshire is unfortunately the unlucky recipient of that vote.
This is a great day in the history of human freedom.
A few years ago, they hit that 20.
The video and audio is Jason Sorens and Carla Garrick. They're at the February 3rd, 2016, which was the celebration of the Free State Project reaching its goal of hitting 20,000 signers of the intent to make the move here to New Hampshire. So that was when, that's what you're hearing in the background.
20,000.
We did it. Today, I'm here to announce that the Free State Project has officially triggered the move and that participants need to come home. You have 5 years from today, February 3rd, 2016, to come help build the world's first intentional liberty community.
It's worth pointing out it's now been 7 years from that day. It's actually been that long since the Free State Project reached its goal.
There has been a spike in movers, though.
The five-year window ended in 2021, and it turned out that 2021 was our biggest year, the Free State Project's biggest year for migrants. Now, we haven't got the numbers from 2022 yet. Supposedly,
there's no way it's going to be as good. I just don't see it.
I don't know. I feel like the people that couldn't come as soon as 2021, because, again, COVID really kicked a lot of people into gear. I'm interested to see how it shakes out.
I am too, and it was a good thing, right? But I think 2021 is going to go down in history as the peak year for the Free State Project.
I hope you're wrong about that.
Well, I'm not saying I think it's burned out or anything like that, right?
The tyranny isn't gonna lessen at the federal level. So the worse things get, the better things will get here in New Hampshire as far as people moving. But let's continue.
The Free State Project has never been very transparent about who they are, moving here.
That's BS, lady. Maybe some representatives, I don't support this idea, right, of, you know, being a free stater and hiding the fact that you're a free stater while you run for office. I have never voted for a person who did this.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer them to be open and upfront and transparent about it, but still, the Free State Project itself it doesn't do anything, first of all. It just encourages people to move here, and it's extremely transparent about that. The only non-transparent thing it ever did was freaking ban you from the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yeah, that was kind of a low point, but they've gotten better since that time. So let's go on with her critique.
Who's running for office, and they're using the party system to try to get elected, even if they're not aligned.
All right, so as you would expect from a collectivist like Ms. Zandra Hawkins here, she's acting as though the Free State Project has any kind of determination over who's running for office. All the Free State Project does is it just encourages people to move here.
That's how the only way she can think. Top down.
Yeah, she thinks everything's like her organization, where she's running the show, and all the people are underneath her, and they do whatever it is she tells them to do, that kind of thing. It's got to be a hierarchy. But it's not that way here. The Free State Project has no idea who all's running for state rep. I mean, they may know some of them. Like, they know Jeremy Kaufman or Carla Garrick, who are their two of their board members. Of course, they know when they're running for office, but they certainly don't know the thousands of people who've moved here, how many dozens of them at any given time. time are on the ballot. It's actually people like Xandra that figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
She's the one that does that research.
It's completely crazy, right? And I can understand the worldview that this lady... But let's think about the Free State Project. They got 20,000 libertarians here, and they're just plastered on a wall, and they can pick any 5,000 of them to go ahead and move. How insane would that be to be like, that redhead tranny Satanist over there? We need that one next. Right? They don't have any control over this. It just happens. If they had their choice, I probably wouldn't be here. They would have picked someone more like Mark Edgington or something. This is not the way liberty works, lady.
Indeed. We continue.
The values of that party. It's the whole reason we started Free State Project Watch. We research and produce a list of all the candidates we're aware of. If you can't be honest about your intentions, your values, who you are,
but the thing is, they're never not honest about their values. That's what bothered me. They never go and say, like, I'm running as a Republican and I love war, ha ha ha, and then... Oh, tricks on them. They don't really love war.
I can't say what people never did because I've not followed all of their campaigns.
I haven't seen it.
It wouldn't surprise me to know that there are some people who are less than forthcoming. Whether they're being dishonest, I don't know. But I suspect there are some people who do not wear that they're a free stater on their sleeve.
Certainly. I mean, we know some
people who get that. And I agree with Xandra to that extent. I think that they shouldn't hide it.
I'm just saying I think that's different than hiding your values. Like, she acts like...
Okay.
She's one of those people who act like we're not real... I mean, obviously, I know that I'm not a real Republican, but I still think that somebody who is a free stater could easily run under a Republican and actually believe in things that the voters that vote Republican believe in. It's not like they're lying about it.
That's what I tried to argue when I ran for office. It's like, look, we don't fundamentally disagree. I have common ground with Democrats. I have common ground with Republicans. I just picked the common ground with the Republicans, and I chose
talk
to
about
talk
that.
About those things. I'm like, hey, look, guys, we're on the same page here. I'm just a little further along on the page here than you guys are.
But if
you love small government, I love no government.
Right. You were never dishonest at all in any
way. No.
And I hope that most free staters are that way. But we just don't know, right? Because there's literally dozens of them. And I got to say to Xandra here, they're dropping the ball. I mean, she's talking about their Free State Watch going through and figuring out who's running for office, but they haven't had a list since 2018.
That's so embarrassing.
Yeah, I've been so disappointed because, like I said, it's like a voter's guide for me. I want to know who the Free Staters are because they don't tell us because
they
don't
they stopped.
Know.
It sounds like they're defunct.
Well, it sounds like, she's still collecting a paycheck. They're still doing
maybe,
something.
But hate doesn't sell very well. It gets exhausting, and it tires people out, and they stop having any momentum.
That's true. They don't have anything here. You can go to their website. It's freestateprojectwatch.org, and there's a menu that shows 2014, 2016, 2018. No 2020,
five
no 2022,
later?
Right? Like, so there's been two full elections that have happened since that time, and they've totally dropped the ball. So,
but if you go to freestateproject.org or fsp.org, you won't find stuff dated from 2018 as being some of the most recent.
I can't say that either. I don't know how good
they are.
Well,
they've at least updated it with Porkfest photos from last year.
Probably. Their calendar is always up to date at the Free State Project website. But anyway, we continue here. So, yeah, come on, Xandra, get on the ball. I need our voter's guide back.
They don't believe in strong public schools. They have tried to undermine public safety laws. They've slashed budgets to really bad outcomes for those local communities. And they've even threatened things like having New Hampshire secede from the rest of the country.
The House will be in order.
Libertarian ideas are not popular, which is why they had to move to one area.
They're a minority. We have to snuff them out.
Yes. That's correct.
That is democracy, right?
It is kind of gross. I mean, no, our ideas are not popular. That doesn't mean that they don't deserve a seat at the table. Though.
They're just invalid, Aria. Most people don't agree with this already without a discussion. So therefore, invalid.
Well, I mean, that point gets made more than once by more than one of the opposition during this series. Is that they had to move here because they're just too weak everywhere else. Yes, that's absolutely true.
Sorry that you guys run the public schools and vehemently defend them.
I mean, there's probably more libertarians out there than we realize. There's a lot of people who don't know what a libertarian actually is. I mean, but they're still not the majority, and they're not even close to the majority. So we're going to have one place for us. And sorry that it's the place where you happen to choose to move, but y'all can leave. if you really don't like it. Because there's one guy later, it's not in this episode, but one of the opposition points out that he doesn't think we're going to stop coming.
Nice. Well, he's not wrong.
And he's absolutely correct about that.
Are not popular, which is why they had to move to one area to try to take over to force the changes that they want onto the rest of us. They have this extreme ideology, and they want to see these policies enacted, and they're doing it in some cases.
Yes, yes, indeed. So that's her admitting the success of the Free State Project there, and that is basically to wrap out.
It really snowballs. I could never have predicted all the different things that people would do once they got here. But it's been amazing to see.
Well, that's real liberty. You can't plan for other people to make businesses and other people to do this and that.
That's right.
That's what Xandra tries to do.
She tries to centrally plan everything. So that was episode one, and it's excellent.
Yep.
What do you think about that, Ari? It was your first time hearing the video.
Well, I had seen the trailer, so I'd seen the first 4 minutes of it or so, and I was also interviewed, so I had a fairly good idea of what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I didn't see the video, but the audio was entertaining, mm-hmm. and it was compelling. As a libertarian, it was like watching the Democratic debates when Sandra was talking, which is like I kept wanting to point out why she was wrong, and it took me 3 hours to watch 5 minutes of the Democratic presidential debate. But other than that, it was good. It was very well produced. I hated the piano track.
Fair.
But
would you say it was fair?
Yeah, I would say it was fair.
Number one is just, introducing it. The rest of them get way more interesting.
Yeah, the next episode focuses on the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Episode three is about people making the move. So they kind of look at one guy and show him moving into his house. We don't even know him. A couple guys. Yeah,
That's what's cool about it. Never even seen him.
I'm confused. Is this the Free State Project documentary that was at the Porcupine Freedom Festival last year?
Two documentary groups were at Pork Fest.
I thought so. Okay.
These guys from NBC Boston, and then there's another one called Free State, or The Free State, that is being produced, and that is actually being made by a libertarian.
Okay. So yes, I thought there were two, and I wanted to be sure.
But she lives in California now, and she's actually moving to New Hampshire.
That's correct.
Good.
The Free State girl. But anyway, these guys are great, and this series is great. You can watch the first 7 episodes. Episode 4 is all about secession, so there's a whole episode focusing on that, which is fantastic. Episode 5 and 6 are devoted to the Croydon school board controversy where...
Yeah, I'm going to skip those. I'm not even going to pretend like I'm going to watch them. I don't care about that issue, and I never cared about it. I mean, it was great as far as libertarian successes go, and then you get the pushback that you would expect, and...
But it wasn't a success, ultimately. It was a failure because the pushback happened, and it was a big pushback, and that's... I feel like it's worth watching because, you get to hear the other side of it. You get to see how awful the opposition was. And it is, as far as the first 7 episodes, it's the 2 episodes that have the most opposition. Like, this is what brought a lot of people out against the Free State Project because they felt like, oh, God, my children, they're under attack from these Free Staters.
Oh, they get so low, too. Like, they say about Jody, they're like, she doesn't have children. She doesn't understand what it's like to care about other people. It's like, what? It's crazy. And then there's a 300 people crowd yelling, you're a Free Stater at Jody. It's crazy.
It's ugly.
Who is Jody?
Jody Underwood. She is one of the Bardo Farm people.
She's an early mover for the Free State Project. She was on the school board of Croydon when the budget got cut by 54% last year.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. They were being so nasty to her, and luckily she didn't get nasty back to them.
Yep. She held it up pretty good. I don't know.
I'm not surprised. That sort of pushback. I mean, you make it sound more interesting than I would have expected. The issue as a whole, I don't care about. But I mean,
you should care about it because
I don't care about school boards.
If I had kids,
I would care about it.
I get what you're saying, but it doesn't have to do with whether you have kids.
I care more because I don't have kids. Like, I don't want to pay for other people's.
Well, there's
kids.
That, but the reality is 60 to 70% of the property taxes here in New Hampshire are going to the local schools.
Right, I
so
get
if you
all
could
of that.
Cut the school budget by 54%, which is what they approved in Croydon.
Poor people would be able to move here.
then there's an opportunity cost to, you know, watching 20 minutes about a documentary covering an issue that I don't care about.
I wouldn't even say, if you are not interested in it, I'd say don't watch it, because to me it was like kind of a more boring part, except for I just really like Jody.
Right. I mean, hey, don't watch it if you don't want
to
watch it. But
to some people it's going to be more interesting. My favorite episodes are the Secession one, and whichever one had the Free State or the Free Keynes stuff in it. That was pretty funny.
I think that was the final one, but maybe it was one of the Croydon ones. I don't remember. It was one of the later.
I'm looking forward to the Crypto Six one. Definitely.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting as well.
I want to see how that gets painted.
The final of the first seven is called The Impact. And so you're going to hear more from some of the opposition, of course, as things go on, which is why the Croydon one's the most interesting from that perspective, because it really gives the opposition their chance to say, yeah, we win. Yeah, we're beating those Free Staters. And it's just an initial setback. That's all Croydon is.
Well, and libertarians should have expected it. You're going to get the first time you're successful like that, you're going to get pushback.
Absolutely.
The second time, you're going to get pushback. But every time you get that pushback,
you'll gain something.
You'll gain something, and it's a little bit weaker. Until finally they give up and they don't have a candidates list that doesn't date after 2018. Because they just get tired of pushing back. They're exhausted. They're worn out. Hate doesn't motivate them. Like, stop freaking. They're just done. They're defunct. No one cares about them anymore.
And they're going to start losing people, too. People are moving out of New Hampshire who hate the opposition. They hate the Free Staters. They hate the Libertarians. And they know they can go to a big government state not very far from here, right? You can just move to Massachusetts. You can move to Vermont or Maine or New York or whatever and have all the big government that you want to. Now, Jay in our chat room, he says that Ian is lying, that he said the original Free State Project was absolutely about taking over. And so I asked him to clarify, and he gives a quote from Jason Sorens in one of his original announcements of the Free State Project. He said, quote, "What I propose is a Free State Project in which freedom-minded people of all stripes, libertarians, anarcho-capitalists, pacifists, even people who just call themselves liberals or conservatives, the only requirement is that you pledge that you will work to reducing government to the minimal functions of protecting life, liberty, and property, establish residence in a small state, and take over the state government." So that's what he originally said, and that doesn't mean that I was lying about it. What I was saying was, you can't take over anything without getting the people to support you. 20,000 people moving into a state of 1.4 million with over 800,000, I believe, registered voters is not enough to take over anything. You have to get people to vote for you.
And people do vote for us. People clearly support us. I mean, I was probably one of the more controversial, more polarizing candidates to ever run. I still got, like, what, 23% when it was all said and done?
Mm-hmm. Up against an incumbent sheriff.
Well, Ian, I still think that you're cuter now at 40 than you were at 30.
I appreciate that. But out of time for tonight. Maybe we'll play episode 2 tomorrow night. We'll see how things go. There's always things in the news. We didn't get to Project Veritas or the Japanese suicides or anything like that. But open phones every night. You can call in and bring up whatever you want. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. Join us online over at freetalklive.com, and we'll see you tomorrow.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR. EPR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.